that has built up after 8 long months of hellacious rehabilitation for this man. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the first man steps in the ring to meet the game? Whether you like this man or not, ladies and gentlemen, this is a triumphant return, as good as it gets.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, JR. I don't think I've ever heard anything like it.
And I have been to the national championship football games, Super Bowls, World Series, but I've never felt or heard the emotion as we are experiencing and feeling here tonight in the world's most famous arena for the world's most famous game, Triple H. This is an overwhelming show of respect. It is oozing from the hearts of every fan sitting here in Madison Square Garden. And again, I'll reiterate, like him or not, this man deserves respect.
I want to hear what he has to say, JR. You got to remember, this is the same man who used sledgehammers on people. JR, this is the same man who broke your arm.
He's as deadly as they come, the cerebral assassin. He is a tough, resilient WWE superstar, as resilient, as tough as anybody that I personally have ever seen. And he's back.
We're about to find out
his agenda.
Right. In his own words. Let the game begin.
This crowd really did. They want to stop cheering long enough to let the man talk. He's got to feel everything that these fans are feeling for him right now.
It is I, Cassius, God of Cashback.
You got to love it, Cassius. The all-new official WWE Credit One Visa card from Credit One Bank.
Yes!
Visit ultimatewwecard.com for more details.
Right now, what an emotional moment.
Just in case you've forgotten, let me tell you just in a who the hell I am.
I don't think they've forgotten.
I am the game. And you can bet your ass I'm back.
He's back, all right.
And I am the guy that tonight officially enters the Royal Rumble.
Oh, wow.
What?
First Austin, then Picker, now the game.
And I...
Now, wait a damn minute. Now, what the hell is this idiot? Kurt Angle, the audacity to interrupt this man's return.
Now, wait a minute, JR. You know we've been waiting for Kurt's announcement all night long.
I know we haven't. You got a mouse in your pocket?
Well,
nobody gives a damn about Kurt Angle's announcement tonight.
What are you talking about? I've been waiting all night for it with bated breath.
You suck.
It's going to be big, I'm sure.
Who the hell do you think you are? A quad injury kept you out for 8 months. 8 months! I won an Olympic gold medal with a broken freaking neck!
Oh, that's true, you know.
Well, if anyone deserves this time, right here, right now, it's me! So you're on my time, pal!
Oh, man.
What?
Ridiculous.
And I'm glad you're out here to hear my major announcement.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Because it's even bigger than your big return.
That's big.
It's something that everybody's been waiting for.
What is it?
And my major announcement is that I, Kurt Angle, will also enter the Royal Rumble.
Whoa!
My first ever Royal Rumble.
That's huge, JR. That is huge. What an announcement. Earth-shattering.
And you want to know why I didn't enter the Rumble last year, Hunter? I think you know. Because I was too busy pinning your ass to the mat. What do you think about that?
Oh, Kurt Angle trying to steal a spotlight from a man that's had 8 months of therapy.
And you got the game! The game taken down by Angle! And Triple H with a big old right hand at the face of that pump of Kurt Angle!
Get out of here, Kurt!
The game now stuck with the hell of Kurt Angle! They're going to both be in the Rumble, and they're running right now!
Wait a minute!
Holy mackerel!
Look at the game!
Look at the game! He's in great shape, and he's here to fight!
And he's showing no respect for Kurt!
Kurt Angle doesn't deserve any respect after interrupting this man.
Look
out! The German suplex.
What about that?
Man, what a suplex by Kurt Angle. He just drilled the game in that German suplex.
Man, is the game over already?
Huh? The game's just getting started. This game is not over.
Woo!
And Triple H pulling his way back up. Kurt Angle had no business interrupting the game's first announcement. It's the first time he was going to talk and let us know how he was feeling and what was going on in his life.
I know he had all that pent-up frustration, all of those 8 months of being on the injured list, and then coming back with all these fans, but Kurt had a major announcement. It was ruined.
Kurt Angle should have made his announcement earlier. Or he could wait on Thursday night on SmackDown.
Wait.
But not tonight.
Don't come back down there.
Oh, what a game! My God, the game is back. Business has picked up here, folks.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J and that pain in the ass, Choppy.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant and Angry.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
We'll be right back. Yeah.
That fucking, what a great song.
Wasn't that on one of the soundtracks? Shocker, was it? I don't know.
No. I wanted to say the movie with Pinhead, Hellraiser, but it was.
No, it was Shocker.
Yes.
Horace Pinker.
Yes.
Remember that guy?
Yep.
All right, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you.
Because I'm shot. My ears are shot.
Yeah, I got you.
Episode 434 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're only 14 days into the new year, but...
Yeah, it's happening.
We're here, pal.
We're here.
I was going to do a show last week, and then I was, like, sick in bed.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Jay wasn't here, and I was like, fuck it. You know what? I had no desire. I was on vacation. I stayed exactly on that couch basically most of the week.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
I did nothing. I was so sick.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, and then, you know, I've had... Let's see. By the way, we're not live. We're live to tape. We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. We're taped. We're part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Rant Entertainment Media, Dark Satellite Media. Speaking of Dark Satellite, Jimmy's got the guy who played Ray Luca on Crime Story on his show this week.
Ah.
I forgot his fucking real name.
I tell you.
Anthony Dennison. He's a good actor. He's played a bunch of shit, but he was Ray Luca in that show Crime Story.
I was actually checking out our buddy's Inconclusive Breakdown.
Shout out to Justin and the crew, huh? Yeah. They got a good thing going on, huh?
Yeah, I was checking them out during the week.
You like those guys? They do a lot of conspiracy.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm gonna have to try to reach out.
Yeah, Justin will definitely
tap in.
They record on Sundays.
Yeah.
So Justin, yeah, shout out to Justin and those guys. They're good. They're good people, man.
Happy New Year there.
Happy
Phillip.
New Year. Happy New Year. Happy holidays and all that merry shit. Yeah, man. Double ear infection. Everybody's getting COVID. Everybody, Choppy's got COVID right now.
Yeah.
But he's asymptomatic, so keep that fucking idiot in your prayers. Your thoughts and prayers over here. As we look at Stephanie McMahon's crinkled hair and her big tits.
Yeah.
This from 2002.
Yeah, it's when she's got the new tit job.
And Mitchell Cole with his fucking frosted tips.
Oh, yeah.
How's that going for you, Mitchell?
Yep.
Yeah, so episode 434, it is year 10 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're almost at the 10th anniversary in July. So we're very excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
Except we're not excited about anything else right now. We're just trying to get by.
Just, yeah.
It's a rough patch. Like, even like, I had to go to eye doctor today. Like, I'm losing my vision. Like, this is not fun, man. And I told you guys last year, I didn't feel my age until last year. Like, I'm like, man, I'm okay. You know, age is just a number. And
yeah.
I always did, you know, mess with younger girls and this, that, and the third. Now it's like, dude, you're fucking old.
It catches up. Father Time does no jobs.
Yeah, he does not. He doesn't tap. The eye doctor was like, all right, because this is my first time meeting him. Like, Steph hit me to him, you know. It's her doctor. She wears contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, oh, nice to meet you. And how old are you? I'm like, I'm 47. He's like, what do you do? I tell him what I do. He goes, all right, I'm only a couple of years older than you. This stuff's going to happen to you, man. I'm like, oh, doc.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it, dude. I don't want to hear it. Fuck all that noise, man.
Yeah, it's happening. Welcome. I mean, listen, I'm a avid glasses wearer. It's funny. Tabor says all the time that she wants me to get the eye surgery and
the LASIK.
And I got my fucking willies about that, man. You know, it's you only get one set of eyes in this world. You know, that's the way I look at it. She goes, and I know what the success rate is. And yeah, I get it. It's been around for, God, you know, decades now. Maybe 2-3, you know, 20-30 years, but. I don't know. It just takes wrong time. Doctor just all of a sudden just gets a cough, gets something, zip, and there goes my motherfucking eyeball.
So I'm going to just jump on Tabor's bandwagon for a second because Tabor and I both work in healthcare. By the way, she posted on her social media about her new position, so congrats to her.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very happy for Tabor. And I think I'm going to jump on her bandwagon and say that the process can be trusted now. If this was 1997... and they're going in there manually with the laser, I'd say, nah, I wouldn't do it. But everything's pre-done already. Yeah. Like, they don't actually touch the laser no more. Yeah. They have, like, a machine that does it.
It's just, you know, it's the idea of it. It's like everything else in the world. The beginning and the middle part leading up to it is always the hard part.
I gotta buy two sets of glasses now to read and to drive at night. I feel 107 years old right now. I'm not even going to lie about it, partner. I'm not even lying about it.
Yeah.
It's not even, you know. All right, so since Christmas, a couple things have gone down in terms of everybody around us. It's been really bad in terms of people getting sick. The flu is back. It wasn't around last year, which was very weird. I mean, it's always there, but now it's like in full effect.
Some may say peculiar, but...
Yeah, exactly. And I'm starting to get like a whole, like, I don't want to go outside no more type of shit, and I'm really not that kind of guy. But matter of fact, Matt Spock just offered me tickets to GCW next week. I'm like,
really?
I don't want to go, man. A, I'm broke as fuck. But B, it's like, I don't want to go, man. I went to the AEW shows in September. I was angry. I'm not angry, but I was nervous about going to that, especially with Hammer, who actually just got over COVID. He got COVID.
Oh, my God.
So he's all right. He's better. All he had was a fever and a cough.
I was just going to say, yeah.
He was vaccinated, too. His last vaccine was the day before the Labor Day.
Yeah.
So he's all right. But, like, everybody we know is fucking getting it. Jay just said his dad got it.
Yeah, my sister had it.
Jay's sister had it.
8 months pregnant, you know? You know, I said it to Phil. I can't figure out for the life of me why I haven't gotten it yet. Like, I almost feel left out. I almost feel a little left out.
I'm good for one bad cold a year now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty blessed to say that. And when I got this cold, I'm like, all right, I'm good. And all of a sudden, I started getting, like, the cough and, like, oh, great. So I did a couple COVID tests. I'm fine. But then, like, I went back to work, and my ear started getting, like... Now, 2 years ago, I had the flu, and I had to have my ear flushed out with the wax and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought I had more wax buildup. So I get there, the guy's like, nah, I got a lot of mucus buildup in there, though. So he gave me drops and fucking pills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, not only am I doing the... I have to do the drop, but when I put the drops in, my ear feels worse.
Yeah.
So now
it's just activating the pain that you know, and
yeah,
and
so it's a pain in the ass, man. So I'm doing that, and I'm just trying to like fucking not get sick, and I just and everybody at work is sick, so it's like I'm doing triple the work. I'm exhausted, you know.
The struggle is real.
Yes, absolutely, struggle is real.
Struggle is real.
But we are back.
Yes.
We have a big show lined up for you next week, and I want to just go over that real quick. We're supposed to have Shining Wizards Kevin on the show. We're doing the 30th anniversary of the Royal Rumble from 1992.
Oh yeah,
best Rumble ever.
Arguably.
We do have I don't even know if it's arguable. You think it's arguable?
It depends on how you classify it. Are you classifying it as a whole card, or are you classifying it as the Royal Rumble match? The Royal Rumble match, hands down, the best one.
That's how I'm classifying it.
Yeah.
And we do have another surprise for you guys next week. I don't want to ruin it because
I agree.
The surprise may ruin the surprise itself if it doesn't come through or not.
Yeah.
But we got an unexpected phone call this week, and we're pretty excited about that. It kind of lifted my spirits a little bit because, like Jay said, it's been a struggle where Jay's got some shit going on. I got some shit going on behind the scenes, too. But we're glad to be back, and we're trying to get shit together. And this is the only thing that feels right to me in the last couple of years of my life. Anyway, so it's like I feel like having Jay back, I was very excited. Yeah. And we're going to be, we got a lot of good shows planned out for you the next couple of weeks. So we just, you know, as always, keep it locked as the road to 510 years starts this year.
Starts.
Yeah, we're pretty excited, man. We're pretty excited. We did have it. We kind of had a topic. We didn't have a topic. We'll breeze over some things. We have because none of us have talked to each other since only a couple text messages.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna go over some current events, talk some shit, and get really excited for
next week.
Next week is a big deal. So
it's nice. I just want to say really right off the bat, it's nice to be back and like I said, like Phil was saying, like just to kind of establish some normalcy. I mean, life is sometimes really taking a weird turn of events, and you come back and sometimes you gotta zoom out, and I'm really kind of like in that area right now, you know. And
yeah,
so like I said, I mean, 2022 is just starting. We're gonna kick this shit right in its ass. And
yeah,
I can't wait to get back to whatever kind of normalcy that we are going to attain. I'm ready for it. So let's do this.
Even with everything going on, Tommy Fierro is going to come on the show in a couple of weeks. He's got a big show coming up tonight with his ISPW.
I was just going to say ISPW, right?
We actually, well, and then, you know, he does the 80s wrestling convention. We went, that was actually Jay's first show with us, one of his first shows with us, yeah. Alive, and it was outdoors, and that was his birthday. And then we got invited to the next one, and then COVID happened. So
then the world shut down.
Then the world shut down. But Tommy's bringing it back in May. He already has a gazillion people signed to it already, and our table is still good. Tommy's excited. He's gonna. I spoke to him the other night. He's gonna come on the show.
Cool.
And plug all his shit.
Really cool.
And we're excited for that. And there's a show tonight, and I think it's Total in New Jersey. And the day of the convention is actually a match that night.
I was just gonna say.
So we'll probably, hopefully, we'll stick around and we'll do some color commentary for it for the podcast. We'll actually get a couple of podcasts out of that.
Yeah,
that
I think we talked about a few different things. I think it's gonna be really fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be really fun.
We're gonna make it worth it.
And the last time we did it, we had a blast. We met a whole bunch of cool wrestlers, old school wrestlers. I met my idol Paul Orndorff.
Rest in peace.
Jay got. Little close to Francine.
Yes.
Francine took a liking to Choppy's kids. That was fun.
Yeah.
We helped Sergeant Slaughter to find Bob Backlund in the parking lot. That was fun. Ted DiBiase was fun. He was cool with us.
Yep.
Who else did we see? We saw Bob Backlund. We saw, of course.
J.J. Dillon.
J.J. Dillon was awesome.
He was excellent to talk to.
Enzo was fun.
Enzo.
Nice guy. So we're hoping to get some people on the podcast, and that day too, man. Maybe we'll get somebody to come over to the table and talk to us.
Absolutely.
I think, and we'll have the usual suspects joining us. I think I mentioned to Rob and Elaine that I think we're gonna get one of them. I think Rob's gonna be on vacation that week or something like that. Something's happening in May, but one or two of them is gonna be joining us. I think too. So we'll have a whole mossy full of people. We want to get some of the locals over there, man. That's you know, Shaylin and. Maybe Georgie can come out from uptown and...
We'll throw a party.
You know, have a big fucking... Maybe the Wizards will come out. They've been doing some big things lately.
Yeah.
So shout out to them. I was listening to them the other night. They do Mondays, so they're like my Monday on the way home type of deal.
Yeah.
But I have so much going on my bus ride on my phone. I have like a whole routine. So I can't listen to the whole show. I have to download it. So, but shout out to Kevin and Matt and Tony as well. And shout out to everybody who's been sticking by us, man. It's been rough. We've been Matt Squires made us a Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan today.
Awesome, I got
to
check.
Shout out to him. Motsbox coming in next week. I was gonna try to hook up with him. He's going to the GCW show. Yep. He's got a podcast going on with our buddy Will from New England.
Really?
Yeah, he just started something. And Mott hasn't really plugged it, but if he's gonna be listening to the show, so I should start having him plug the show.
Yeah.
On the website. But Will, his partner Will, I believe he's been around. Will's been a supporter of the network for a minute, Wizards Network anyway. So him and Will are doing some things. And what else is going on? Handsome Dan still doing his podcast. Jay just got hip to fucking Inconclusive, which is
I listened to an episode this week. I was like, oh, you know what? I gotta check it out because I was listening to our show and I heard it through the clips. I'm like, oh, I gotta check this out and. You know, shout out to them. I was like, oh, this I can get down to. So, like I said, hopefully next few weeks things are starting to come to light. Life's crazy. Life's crazy, and you gotta take it. You gotta take it on the chin and just move on. You can't sit too dormant. Otherwise, it consumes you, and then. You know, that's pretty much that. So.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so you've had a little bit of downtime because of your situation. We're not going to get into that, but you said you haven't really watched a lot of wrestling, though.
No. I've caught up on what I wanted to catch up with. Wrestle Kingdom, I haven't seen. I kind of read everything about it.
I gave you the login, though, so you could watch.
I couldn't figure it out on my phone, and I was trying to do it on Amazon Prime, the Fire Stick thing, and... I just kind of got fed up, so I just read the results.
I'm gonna have to come over and fucking navigate that for you.
So bad,
you fucking knucklehead.
It's so fucking bad. It's almost comical at this point.
Yeah, I got a subscription of rest of New Japan for the podcast for that reason. So Jay can sign in, and you know, if Choppy wanted it, he could sign in. You know, even though he's not here, but. There's a bunch of stuff we have to get.
It wasn't too surprising what happened, I think, and I think it's kind of good for the company. I did see the clips of Okada kind of like,
which I called, by the way,
laying homage to you know, to the old belt, you know, and I really, really enjoyed it. God, their storytelling is just it's on a different level. I mean, I think it's the effect that AEW wants to aspire to, but just doesn't obtain, because it's just a culture. It's a culturally different thing.
Here's what New Japan does better than everybody else. They don't have a regular show on TV. They do have the US stuff now, right? They don't do TV.
Yeah. They're coming back to Access now.
They come back to Access. That's just clips, though, from their shows.
Yeah.
Okay, they don't have a TV show. They don't, and they keep their roster to a minimum. They don't overload it, and it's the same guys. So I don't mind seeing fucking the same old conjures, like fucking, you know, like Blue Justice and all those guys open up the shows. I don't care if I see Minoru Suzuki 1,700 times. I don't care. But there's factions, there's stories, and Okada needs to be the champion. He's one of those guys that has to be champion for me anyway. He's an amazing talent, one of my favorite wrestlers on the whole planet, right? But he's got to be champion. I knew he was going to win the title. Not only did I tell Rob he was winning the title, but I told Rob he was going to retain it against Will Ospreay the night before. And Will Ospreay, to his credit, Jay, he was nothing short of brilliant, right?
Yeah.
And Will Ospreay played the perfect heel. Well, you know how the heel gets himself to a point in those matches where he jams himself up in storyline. That's exactly what he did. And he played it to the point where he's like, you know what? I'm too cocky. I'm this, I'm that. And you know what? It caught up with him. And Okada is now back on top of the heap. He is the rainmaker, the leader of chaos, and he is definitely deserving of that championship. And I cannot wait. He's already got defenses against, I believe, Naito. And there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, the tag team championship changed. Every belt changed hands. Tanahashi retained the U.S. title. I mean, he won a U.S. title from Kenta, who's hurt now, by the way.
Yeah, and unnecessary. Brutal.
Unnecessary. It was, listen, that's one thing New Japan shouldn't be doing, is these fucking chairs. It's not their thing. So when they rig shit like this, Kenta was not prepared, obviously. He got banged up for real, and Jay, like Jay said, if you saw his body, he was all just wrapped up.
It was brutal.
It was unnecessary. You know, we have and you know, the Show and Yo thing blew up. That was great.
Yeah.
You know, the Junior Tag Championship. It's the Flying Eagles, Robbie Eagles, and Tiger Mask, which I'm happy about too. The Never Open Way title changed hands. Like, it was a good Wrestle Kingdom. And then the third night against Noah was fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to, I didn't even read about it either, but I heard, like, I thought it was going to be on New Japan.
And, no, it will be in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, you could dive, I mean, there's ways to watch it, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
These, you know, gimmicks.
This stuff.
Gimmicks. Everything's a gimmick.
Everything a gimmick.
Everything gimmick, Kyoko. Shout out to Kyoko. Everything's gimmicks. So, yeah, Wrestle Kingdom was good. I'm excited to see what the spring is going to be like for them. And with the world shutting down again, I'm just hoping that... And then Fale's got the documentary coming out for the dojo, which I think premieres this weekend. I'm excited about that. We got to have him back on the show to plug that. It looks very interesting. I'm not into reality shows, but I'll watch anything he puts on, because he's a very...
Fantastic human being.
Yeah, he's a fantastic human. He's very... Not pulsing. What's the word I want to use? Polarizing. Polarizing. That's it. That's the word I want to use. He's polarizing. I don't want to say pulverizing because he does pulverize.
He does pulverize
his opponents. But And Bullet Club is making their moves, man. They fucking, they're invading the U.S. soil. They're invading Impact.
They're going to Impact.
The Gorillas are going to Impact. Jay White's on over there, already over there.
Yep.
Impact had a good pay-per-view.
Yeah, Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill. Yep. I watched, and then there was the triple threat with Matt Cardona against Moose, against, Jesus Christ, I forgot already. My head, it hurts. Well, either way, Moose retained, but got jumped by Ring of Honor.
Which is
PCO, Taven, Mike Bennett, Maria.
Which I know for certain, well, at least I read, that PCO definitely signed by Impact.
He did.
I didn't hear about Taven. And
they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't.
Which I find peculiar.
Well, Ring of Honor is back in April, and I told you guys that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
And they already announced a show in Dallas.
Yeah, the WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
And Deonna Purrazzo just won the Ring of Honor Championship.
Against Roxy.
Yeah. And then they jumped D'Lo Brown. D'Lo Brown has a new broadcast partner. Matt Stryker is off of Impact.
Yeah.
And he's replaced by a boy, Tom Phillips, I believe his name is.
I believe, but
he's using his real name.
Tom.
Hanneman?
Hanneman or something like that?
Something, Hannah something. Hanna something.
Yeah.
Right? And but Impact was good, man. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything. There was the Violent by Design thing.
I love the oh my god, Ultimate X. I was just gonna say this.
Yeah.
With the women and everything.
Yeah.
And you know, and even the women's main event.
Yeah.
Peraza against Mickie James.
Yeah. Hardcore Cutlets.
Yeah. that was excellent. You know, Impact doing big things. I think they are showing, and especially now, you know, Mickie James being announced for the Royal Rumble, which is, I've been using the word peculiar a lot, but that's something that was eyebrow raising because, and let alone that even McAfee even mentioned that she's the Impact champion. But to me, that's a peculiar thing because, you know, she's the champ there. So is there some sort of inner relationship? I'm looking at it as the women's roster is just fucking thin on WWE TV. So I think they have no choice but to do this.
I'm looking at it as the forbidden door is fucking revolving. Is a revolving door, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're not shocking the fans. I told you guys this months ago that you're not reinventing the wheel. If these companies can just inch these doors open and let the talent jump from place to place and tell a good story, why can't you do that? Why can't, I mean, they brought, listen, back in the day in the Rumble, they brought guys in. They brought fucking Tenryu in a couple of times from Old Japan. Or New Japan, or I forget where Tenryu was at the point. I think it was All Japan. And then they brought in guys from Smoky Mountain.
Yeah.
They brought guys in from ECW.
Mexico. 96 was
Mil Mascaris. Yeah. But so, like, it's not, again, this has not been done before. It's been done before.
It has been, but it's been done bad before.
Right.
These guys that they brought in, Tenryu, jobber. Well,
Tenryu is a fucking amazing talent, former champion,
of
six man.
He was, and
he's NWA six man tag champion too.
On WWF TV,
he's a jobber.
He was a jobber. You know, Mil Mascaris, you know, eliminated himself.
Legend.
You know, so to me, it's been done before, but we're playing with a whole new set of rules here.
100%.
And I'm not saying that they're going to job Mickie James out. I don't know. I can't sit there and honestly say I don't know what's happening because, you know, they did her wrong in the sense of, you know, what was it, garbage bag gate or whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever happened when she was on her way out earlier this year or last year. You know, that all happened. I don't think this is something to make up for it. I just think that the roster is thin for the women. It's you know, you cut. I mean, what's the number of people that they cut in 2021 and 2022?
It's near 100.
It's got to be. It's definitely. If it's not 100, it's just south of it.
Yeah.
And they're thin. They are just painfully thin on the women's side. And Sasha's out hurt. You know, hopefully Bayley comes back, makes it for the Rumble. I think she will be. So I think bringing in the women, bringing in the Bella Twins, bringing in Michelle McCool was a no-brainer. Kelly is you know good. You know you know the Mickie James was eyebrow raising, and for good reason. I think it could do something. And Moose right away went on to social media, went on Twitter, and was kind of just shouting out to Roman Reigns, where there is intrigue there, at least on my part, because of the 8x10. Moose inside the ring has made great improvements, and I think Roman is a better wrestler in that sense. You know, better talker, better everything.
Better look all around.
But you know what? I mean, it's, you know, WWE would be punching down to do it. It would do nothing but help Impact. It would do nothing for WWE. But as a wrestling fan,
I'm going to disagree.
I'm intrigued.
I'm going to disagree. We wouldn't do anything. What it would give WWE? It would give them old eyes back on their shit. Guys and girls who turned away from the product and said, I can't watch this no more. It's not fun. But, oh, wait a minute. Other guys are coming in? Like, if you can... Listen, in terms of not doing anything, in terms of they don't need it, that I get that point. But if you can bring people back to it inadvertently almost... Like, say, like, can you, listen, okay. If you haven't watched WWE in like 5 years, and I said to you, hey, dude, guess what? Moose just jumped Roman Reigns on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Or, hey, Mickie James just beat Charlotte for the title.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to tell me, wow, maybe I should watch SmackDown tomorrow.
Here's my thing with that. You're right. If you were open to doing that, are you going to waste that card? Are you going to waste that move? And this is no offense to Moose. You're going to waste that on Moose and not, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, not go to Tony Khan and go, let me get Jericho. Jericho would be a needle mover for a surprise entrant on the Royal Rumble. I'm not saying maybe go one-on-one with Roman Reigns, but to come in.
CM Punk type of deal.
CM Punk would never happen.
It would move the needle. It would break
the needle. It
would break the needle, yeah.
But you know, you get somebody like that and you call Tony Khan and be like, listen, let's, you know, Tony Khan to me, this last month or so has been very hot and cold in the sense of, I don't know what he's trying to do. Like, is he trying to, he was comparing himself to Eric Bischoff.
Well, let's stick with WWE still.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, but I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
To bridge that gap. You know, once again, AEW clear and concise, number two. There's no question about it. But to me, you know, yeah, you want to get eyes on your product. WWE ratings have gone down. You are cleaning house left and right. If you are going to do something of that nature, if you're going to go try to... think you're wasting time with Impact. If that, you
unless
know what I
you
mean?
Have interest in that talent.
Unless you have interest in Moose, which let's, but Moose has been on record saying, I believe he turned down
a lot of guys, WWE,
of years ago.
And a guy's starting to go public with that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Adam Page went public with that in his promo the other night.
Yeah.
I turned down a multi-million-dollar contract to start a company with my friends. So it's, if WWE is going to, you know, shit or get off the pot, this would be the perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
Work with these other companies. You have nothing to lose.
Although, but then again, let's, you know, let's put the fucking hat on and just go, what better way to get back at fucking AEW for kind of dragging you through the mud a little bit than working with Impact? What better way? I mean, listen, Cole, say what you will. Vince is that petty.
And Scott D'Amore and his guys have done nothing but open their door to everybody, including GCW, AEW, New Japan, ROH. Now ROH is invading, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Now you're going to, it's just more eyes on the product. You're going to make me, for somebody who doesn't watch Impact all the time, just by watching that pay-per-view, I was home Saturday. Yeah, making- I watched the fucking pay-per-view. I was like, this is great. I can do that, you know? And I know the market's oversaturated. I know there's a lot to watch because even NWA is doing some big things now, and I have to catch up with that. But, you know, you have to understand, too, it's like these guys and girls have to make money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're not going to go to WWE, if you're not going to go to, if you can't go to AEW and you're not going to Japan because it's hard to get there right now anyway.
I don't think they're allowing any foreigners in right now.
You know, if it's so what are you going to do? You're going to either start your own promotion like Jonathan Gresham's doing now this weekend.
Yeah.
Or you're going to go, you're going to take your title and the Briscoes are defending that title everywhere now.
That's what they should do.
And they're going to show up on Impact on AEW.
Yeah.
And they're going to jump FTR.
It's a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time, you know? So, and Red Dragons, and we'll get into AEW in a second.
Yeah.
But, you know, with WWE, it's like there's so many things going on with them internally, with William Regal being cut now.
Yeah. It's you know, and it's bizarre. It's very bizarre in the sense of Regal's been with the company for over 20 years, working with NXT, there's a clear, at least I want to say, a clear overhauling of what's happening NXT. And nothing was more evident. Obviously, we knew Bron Breakker was going to get the belt. We knew it was a matter of time. But nothing was more evident than when his entrance coming out, breaking the old black and gold X. That was a sign, and once again, say what you will, Vince is petty in that sense. And like I said, with that happening, there's a lot of internal stuff that we don't know that is clearly something's not right there.
That's a perfect segue again, because my next question to you was, and you actually almost segued your own question. Mark Madden recently on Ric Flair's podcast said that every time WWE fires somebody, they look like the bad guy.
Yes.
So, in other words, like you said, not knowing what's going on internally with them, it's bad because this guy got released, or Samoa Joe got released, or so-and-so. Now William Regal got released. It's clear that they're going in a different direction.
Yeah.
With production, with management. So it's not like they didn't like what Regal was doing, but because of who they are and what they've been doing, it's shame on you. Regal's a talent. Shame on you. Tommy Dreamer's already gone on record and saying Impact's already offered him a position there.
Of course.
Why wouldn't you?
How do you not?
Exactly. So, I mean, it's almost like, you know, and Mark Madden, and I'm not a Mark Madden guy at all, but I do agree with him in, like, you know, it's almost like we talked about this when the firing started happening in the summer. It's like when these big companies fire people, you know, and regardless of their longevity, it's like, okay, well, you know, it's like, well, this guy's doing this for so long. I get it. But you know what? If the company wants to go in another direction, it's almost commonplace to do shit like that.
I remember distinctly, I couldn't tell you when I said it, but I do remember making probably a comment about the firings earlier in the year, whatever time, insert month here. They've let, like I said, close to 100 talent, you know, writers, producers,
yeah, employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly something is happening. And I remember saying two things. I remember saying something doesn't seem right between Triple H and Vince. In the sense of, I believe wholeheartedly, and once again, this is going to be, you know, Vince McMahon, he is casting blame on Triple H on the quote-unquote Wednesday Night War, which it wasn't a war. I don't know. I didn't see it that way. But you have to admit, NXT going to Tuesday nights is a sign of retreat. Call it what you want. It is a sign of them accepting defeat. And in the sense of, if you can, the 18 to 36 demographic or whatever the fuck, you know, AEW is holding their hat on, that was an absolute sign of defeat. So now, with all this stuff happening, I looked at it as, kind of, I think Vince, like you said, is taking the company in a different direction. So it's definitely nothing personal against William Regal. It's definitely nothing personal against Road Dogg. But call it what you want. You know, they're going in a different direction. And these guys are part of an old regime. Scotty Tuhati, a month ago, 2 months ago.
Just for asked, Joey Janela.
Asked for his release. He's sensed it happening. He's seen what was happening. Once that is starting to make its way, something is happening internally. Either to me, I think it's something is not right in the McMahon household, in the sense of, I think promises were made or insinuations were made with Triple H possibly getting the helm, and now Vince obviously not giving it up, or
they're selling.
I think they're selling. I still think they're selling. I've said it. I remember saying it during this time. They are now going, we are not playing with all these toys. We don't want you guys here. We don't. And maybe it's, and follow the narrative. They want nothing but young guys. What are they doing? They get rid of William Regal, who goes around to these indie shows. They don't want any older guys who's been on the, they want to train from the bottom up, which they're doing with that NIT development deal and all this stuff. So they're doing this stuff. To me, I think it's clear as day. They're either, something's wrong with Triple H and McMahon, or they're gearing up to sell.
And it's so weird. The Regal dynamic threw me off, and I'll tell you why. He was the guy that bridged Europe.
Yes.
With Robbie, what's his face, and the other guys.
Robbie Brookside.
Yeah. And he's the one who jump-started the whole NXT, Euro division, right?
Yeah.
Also, he was the bridge for Evolve.
Yes.
And WXW in progress.
Well, they quietly let Gabe Sapolsky go, yeah, too, Gabe, as well.
Right, but he was the bridge. He was the guy going to the shows, calling Triple H, going, yo, you see this guy Johnny Gargano?
Yep.
You see this guy Tommaso Ciampa?
Yep, absolutely.
You know, so...
To me,
it's clear cut the direction that they're going in now with Bruce Pritchard allegedly in charge of NXT.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah,
or overseeing that's NXT,
overseeing
or,
it.
Yeah,
and I forget the other name. It's escaping me right now, but you know, it is, and you look at this and you go, it's something is not right there, and I really want to believe that Vince. I think ultimately when it comes down to it, there's too many good stories of Vince doing great things for people that are close to him. But when it comes to a business thing, he's very petty. And I've said that multiple times today. I really want to believe that he's just looking at the Samoa Joe going, listen, man, I got nothing good for you here. I want you to go. I want you to go make a killing in the business outside. I got nothing for you here. I want that to be true. I just don't think it is. Vince is stuck in his head going, what's his age? I got nothing for him. Oh, I can't use him. He's got nothing for me. He's maybe, because it doesn't make sense that when he won the title off Karrion Kross, all of a sudden Samoa Joe's hurt. Maybe he was hurt. We don't know the actual story, but we do know the facts is he was let go twice in a calendar year. That much we do know. So I don't think there's a personal thing. I just, Vince is going, if he isn't behind the desk for me, I don't want him on my TV. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think this is Vince. I think he's starting to lose it. And Nick Khan is the yes man, because everybody knows if Vince were to go and Triple H were to take over, we knew who the first on the chopping block would be. It would be Kevin Dunn. It would be Vince's guys. Everybody knows that. So I think it's now coming. It's Vince won the battle because he's just going to he's a fascinating human being. And I can't wait for, I hope there's somebody's writing a book, an actual factual book about him. Because stuff that he's been through and the stories that he got needs to be recorded.
I do like Bron Breakker.
Love him.
I do like some of the new guys they have in NXT.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know,
This is not anti NXT 2.0.
No, not at all. I like the Grayson Waller match. I just watched AJ. It with AJ Styles. Yeah. I did see that. I'm excited. I'm just excited now because it's Royal Rumble season. And we, you know what comes after that is WrestleMania season.
We're on the road to WrestleMania.
So, you know, with the Rumble, there's so many things now with so Roman Reigns getting sick for the last pay-per-view. And the pay-per-view was actually good.
It was actually good.
So if you get a chance to watch it, you might want to put some time into that. It was really good. I enjoyed that. I watched that New Year's night.
I was surprised.
I was very surprised. Very, very surprised.
Because it came up hours before they went live. They, you know, Roman Reigns did, you know, COVID-19. They inserted Brock into the main event, which, one, that surprised me. Because I said, at that, because they were doing such good stuff with the Brock-Roman thing. I was like, why put Brock in the main event to not lose, but not to walk away with the title? I didn't think they were going to take the title of Big E. And I'm upset for Big E. Because he lost the belt in that fashion. But what I'm not upset about is the storyline that they're doing now. Like, Paul Heyman back in the fold. I'm all in.
Paul Heyman back with Brock, and then now Brock and Bobby Lashley. Yes. I'm not a Bobby Lashley guy, but they've never fought before, and they have history.
Yes. So, and Brock's personality. I don't know what it is that, I don't know what Brock is on, and maybe it's the beard, it's the hair, but whatever it is, they inserted some personality into him. I am loving it right now. That knock-knock joke the other day was just fucking classic.
The stuff with him and Sami Zayn was good a couple of weeks ago.
But good stuff is happening.
But let me ask you this now. Seth Rollins is going to fight Roman Reigns for the title.
Once again, not upset. Not upset.
Again, these guys have history.
I think what's going to happen is, I hope they're not pulling the trigger too soon on the Seth Roman Reigns thing, because there's a lot of stuff to be happening there. So to me, I hope not. But in the same sense, you got to do something. I love what's happening there. Kevin Owens is. He's there to stay. I think he needs to have his name in the hat as well. But I've been fixated on the Brock Bobby Lashley stuff. And like you said, maybe out of the three of us, when Choppy's not a sloppy Lashley guy. I love Bobby Lashley.
I know you do. I'm not a big Bobby Lashley guy at all. But again, these guys have history.
Yes.
The MMA thing and the whole, you know, the whole I never fought you before, and these things carry weight with me.
Absolutely.
As an older fan, because I love that. I love the fact that you can rehash something and remind all these fucking ADHD fans that are out there.
Yeah.
No disrespect to you guys, but you do have that mentality now. It's to remind you guys that these guys have history and you could still tell a story with them. So for me, it's like, for me, even though I don't like Bobby Lashley, and I'm not a huge Brock Lesnar guy, but I do like Brock a lot. Like, this is intriguing. I want to see this match now.
Yep.
I want to see the match. So we're good. And I think it's on Choppy's birthday, that the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
that day or the day before or the day after. It's definitely his birthday, so we definitely hope we get to celebrate his birthday, hopefully, this year, because we couldn't last year with the whole thing. But anyhoot. But that's basically what it comes down to. WWE clearly gearing in another direction, between the media stuff last year with the Peacock, and then the whole firing everybody and the inter-personnel changes with management, Triple H taking a backseat to certain things.
Major
fucking backseat.
Yes.
So it's like with the transition. And again, it's a publicly traded company, so you don't...
Let me ask you, something just popped in my head. Let me ask you something. A year ago, we tell you all this stuff is happening right now. What do you say? It's a bad decision. Everything is like... I hold on to Triple H's vision of NXT with such high regard. But if you tell me a year ago... this is all happening, I would be like, that's fucking, you, what are you trying to, are you trying to inject poison into the WWE brand?
Is it because of the time of what's going on with the country and not making money, or?
No. I think in general. Just in general.
Okay.
But as I sit here today, I go, I'm not that upset. Only because I think what they're doing ultimately is correct in the sense of, once again, I want to believe that they're going, hey, we're not going to play, we're not going to do Karrion Kross justice. We're not going to do Keith Lee justice. We're not going to do, they don't fit what we're going, which, don't ask me how, I don't agree with that, but that's the way they're looking at it. They're going, you know what, guys, go fucking kill it in the outside world. You just can't do it here for right now. The idea of the Drew McIntyre approach of going, Drew McIntyre got released in, what, 2011, 2012?
Yeah.
And fucking went back to basics, killed it, came back. Now look where he's at. I like to think that that's where that's their reasoning behind it. I don't think that's where it is, but I'm going to convince myself that's where they're going. I'm not that upset with what's happening. And I do not, and I think it's because of, you look at a Bron Breakker, you go, yeah, that motherfucker's got something. I don't know what it is. I think they're going to give him a mic more often because he sounds just like Scott to me.
Very much like his uncle.
But he has something. You know, and the stuff, they got Ciampa fighting. I always want to call him the Djokovic, but that's not Dijakovic. Have him fighting on main event. So that means, is Ciampa coming up to the main roster? So they're trying something. But to me, letting the Garganos go, letting the Adam Coles, Kyle O'Reilly.
And they still have Finn Balor, who's been off TV.
Yes.
They still have, and Kevin Owens is not the champion, but he should be a focal point.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's things that we'll never figure out. And the only thing that's never going to keep me from stop watching WWE is that we are saturated with a bunch of other wrestling.
Yes.
I've never said to anyone, it's so bad, I got to stop watching. I can still pick out shit every week that I like.
I've slowed down, but the last 2 weeks, I've just gone, okay. And especially NXT side, I'm like, okay, this is, because I never really stopped watching that. But now I'm like, all right, I didn't see where you were going. I like where you're going now. But now, kind of like the stuff with Brock again and with on Raw has been interesting. And like you said, it's a new match. And I'd love to see Lesnar against Lashley at WrestleMania. I think that's a great place to have it. I think that can draw some money. You know, but it doesn't look like it may go that way. Which, are they gearing towards a unification of the belts? Are they going to have two separate belts? Only time's going to tell. It looks like they're going to try to do both things. But to me, WWE, as of right now, what are we, January 14? It's starting to go into a good direction. I think SmackDown's been lagging as of late, but Raw's picked up. So I don't know why they can't find the balance between the two. NXT is going well. I'm dying to know the inside story.
I do like the whole Miz.
Yes.
The Miz and Maurice against Beth Phoenix and Edge. I like that.
I like it. I hope that they get it done at Royal Rumble, because I want Edge to go somewhere else for WrestleMania. I.e. like a AJ Styles direction or Kevin Owens. I think Edge is better suited for that. But you know, to go to, you know, you got to get a mixed tag. You got to get the most amount of money, you know, promoted. Yeah, I could see them going there, but the fan in me wants to see Edge against AJ Styles or Edge against Kevin Owens right off the bat.
All right, you want to take a quick break? We'll come back.
Yeah,
and we got AEW and. And we'll,
this is just a recap.
Yeah, it's a recap what we you guys haven't heard from us. So let's take a quick break. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, we're live to tape. It's Jay, it's Phil. It's episode 434, I believe. Happy New Year to you fuckers, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Are you tired of being uninformed? Together, we can change all of that. Experience a podcast like you've never heard before. You'll gain knowledge, have some laughs, because we believe this is the last AEW podcast you'll ever need. Join us every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. on rantemradio.com and Facebook Live. We can also be found on all major podcast forums as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So stop listening to inferior AEW podcasts and bring a new podcast into your life by joining us.
Join the Mark Order Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Mark Order Pod and on Facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. Don't forget to tag us on social media and use hashtag Join the Mark Order, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Hey, this is Colt Cabana, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. What kind of name is Choppy? Ugh.
Yeah, buddy.
Never go wrong with this.
Never. Prince of fucking Darkness. The greatest of all time. The GOAT. All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's Phil. It's Jay. It's,
January 14th.
It's cold. It's getting more brick weather, too.
Oh, I think tomorrow is supposed to go down to the teens.
Tonight.
Oh, is it tonight? Oh,
yeah,
Jesus.
My mom's all worried about me all of a sudden. She's like, you know, you need to put the heat on and make sure you're all right. You know, you get sick and, you know, because I was a pretty sickly kid. Like, I got sick a lot as a little kid.
Yeah.
So I guess that sticks with her, I guess, you know. But I'm all right, Mom. I'm a grown man. I'll be all right.
I'll make it.
As Lita and Matt Hardy try to eliminate the Undertaker. Watching the 2002 Royal Rumble.
Yes.
We opened up the show with Triple H, and I know I've talked about it on the show a few times. I was actually at that show at the Garden when he came back from the quad injury, and I've been to Knicks playoff games. I've been to Ranger playoff games. I've been to the circus. I've been to several loud concerts at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing louder than that pop that Triple H got when he came back. It was amazing. Unexpected, too, by the way. So, and the anniversary was just a couple of days ago, so, of that particular night. And 20 years ago, to the day almost, with the Royal Rumble 2002 that we're watching now. Before we go into anything else that's not WWE related, does the Royal Rumble still have the significance it does with the world title shot, even though the company is in a different fucking, on a different universe? Does it still hold weight with you like it holds weight with me? Like, you're excited to see who's going to WrestleMania with the win?
It, ultimately, yes, it does. It's actually picked up steam with me. I think there's a few years where it was kind of dormant, and it was just like, oh, it's January, here's another pay-per-view. Last year was such a great, Royal Rumble. The year prior was even better. So in the last few years, there's been a few drops, I think, on WWE's end. I don't think it's, you know, like the year like Shinsuke won it, like it was so good. I was so happy he won it.
I agree.
But in the same sense, there was also another, you know, it was just a kind of a botch, you know, on just the, you know, you have Nakamura against AJ at WrestleMania, and it kind of under-delivered, and I do not know why that was.
So disappointed, yeah.
Yeah. That being said, yeah, a long way around it, but yes, it does still hold steam for me because I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see, like, I want the NXT brand. I want Walter to come out this year and have...
That might happen.
Fucking 14 eliminations and just go fucking...
Like a Brock.
Austrian fucking kick ass on it. That's what I want. But unfortunately, the realist side of it is just going, ain't fucking going to do that because it's going to be, you know, I don't know. Like last year, like Edge winning it was good. Was very, very good. But nothing beat his first year coming out. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I look at things and just go, yeah, I'm excited. But then the other side of it is like, how is WWE going to mess this up this year? So it's 50-50 with me. Yeah, it still holds weight because it means something, but in the same sense, like, I don't set my expectations up too high because I feel like WWE will not deliver.
Okay. That's fair enough. And, like, even though I'm not a big women's division fan, Hardcore Cutlets being in a Rumble, being Impact Champion, to me, it's a deal.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just, again, this whole door thing is, for me, as an older fan... That, you know, if I wasn't doing the podcast, I would still obviously invest the time because I have no time. I have a lot of free time on my hands. But even if I didn't, I would try to invest more time only because of, Lita didn't have tits back then, huh?
Just she did.
Oh, she had disposable implants?
Oh, they're there.
Okay. I was like, I didn't see it up close there.
She may not have had the upgrade that she had as the rated R superstar.
Yeah.
But they're there.
Yeah. Undertaker is just cleaning house right now in the 2002 Royal Rumble. It's his yard, by the way.
Oh, it is. This was such an underrated character. Undertaker's great. He's absolutely great.
Oh, yeah, there's Maven.
And this is when Maven comes out. This is such a great storyline, and it can only work with The Undertaker, if you really think about it. Like, he did such a good thing with this when he was just a badass. Like, he just reinvented himself. I'm kind of upset that The Undertaker retired not without doing another... American Badass run. At least do like another year or so, you know, but...
I don't know, man. I'm kind of over it. I'm kind of over it. He did his 30 years. 30 years with one character.
It's amazing.
Evolving it the way he did. There's not going to be another Undertaker.
No. Absolutely not.
No one's going 30 years anymore with that, you know? I mean, who's still 30 years old, like, in terms of character? Ric Flair, who's not wrestling no more. Hulk Hogan, not wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
Stone Cold, not wrestling anymore. If The Rock comes back, that's almost 20-something years old already.
That's 25.
So, I mean, if The Rock comes back and does another Mania run or another WWE run, that's something to consider. But there's the character longevity, and as Undertaker, it's limited by Maven, is not in the cards anymore because it's so the product it's so saturated, and guys and girls come in and out like it's fucking like you're changing underwear.
Mm-hmm.
You almost forget about guys and girls that are not on TV anymore because you're not invested emotionally.
Well, you look at what we're watching now, Maven, where, like, first off, this is just great storytelling. He eliminates, he's so happy, and then he realizes who he just eliminated, and it's The Undertaker. The Undertaker just does this slow walk back in. Maven knows what he's in store for. One of the most sickening chair shots I've ever seen in my whole entire life was Undertaker hitting Maven. But you look at somebody like Maven, where they started with the tough enough, and the idea of what Maven, with the idea of it to what it's turned into with NXT now, with the Roman Reigns project, and I think that's the idea Vince had at this time in 02, was the idea of we got to create our stars, and that's revolutionary for Vince. You have to really admit that. And it took him quite a number of years to perfect it, you know. Oh, it's just one of the worst shots ever.
And, you know, if you're a sports fan, that's what you want, too. You want your teams to build from within. Obviously, going out and signing the big free agents like the Mets just did, the Yankees always do, and the Red Sox and the fucking and the Dodgers, that's great. And it puts asses in the seats, and it bumps your ticket prices up to $1 gazillion. But it's you putting a product out there. If you can build your company from within, from farm picks, from draft picks, from these tough enoughs, and then now the center, the performance center. That's what you want to do. And I think that was the vision from the jump. It just doesn't happen like that because they started cherry-picking guys from the indies.
Yep.
The same way Vince was cherry-picking guys from the fucking territories back in the day. He got Junkyard Dog and Greg Valentine and Big John Studd and Bundy from World Class and Rick Rude from fucking NWA, Ultimate Warrior, those guys.
And later on with Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah, of course, Mr. Perfect. So now, I mean, it is what it is. Again, I like a lot of things they've done. I like a lot of things they didn't do. So, but it's still the top dog because of what they've done. It's the legacy that they leave, and it's also they forced the industry to change every single time. When Vince was getting beat by WCW, he changed the industry. When he monopolized all the feds that he bought out, the industry changed. Here comes Ring of Honor. Here comes fucking Japan again.
Yep.
Here comes the indies. Here comes streaming. Here comes networking. Here comes AEW. Here comes GCW. It becomes a thing. MLW is doing the Azteca thing now. Fantastic, by the way. I saw the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's fantastic. They force the industry to evolve, and that's what I like. That's what I like the most about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you leave Uncle Jay alone. Come here. So, you know, that kind of party. All right. Let's move on.
Yep.
Let's move on to the Elite.
Yeah. Overall, they've been putting on a solid product. I love the stuff with MJF and CM Punk. I even love the stuff now. They're incorporating Shawn Spears, who was... You know,
and now Wardlow's going to be a big face in a company soon.
Yeah, and like I said, you bring MJF is going to shine no matter where he goes. I know they're talking about the idea of MJF might go to WWE. I guess we're not in the shoes. I mean, a lot of us who wanted to be wrestlers, obviously, you want to go to the main stage, but if you see what's happening, I think you can write your own ticket a little bit better, and I think that's where MJF is at. He's a guy who is a kind of a throwback in the sense of what he does and what he portrays himself on TV.
Right.
And CM Punk noticing that right away, hitching his wagon per se, he is, I think it's going to go very, very well. I do want to make a comment with Dan Housen. He signed with ANW.
He's another guy who's making he's making money without wrestling.
Yeah, and it's genius stuff, you know. And to me, I like that. And AEW is, I almost see. Once again, I always think everything Jim Cornette does is kind of a work sometimes. But I do see what he's talking about. Whereas AEW, to their credit, does portray to a small niche audience, aka us, the internet fans. You know, their matches are just, you know, above average, far above average. Storyline wise, they deliver a lot. How many DQ finishes have you seen? You know, how many fucked up finishes have you seen? Very little on AEW TV. They just did it recently with CM Punk, you know, when it was MJF against somebody, and CM Punk came out.
Got him disqualified, yeah.
Got him disqualified. And then
this week he fought Wardlow.
Yeah, you know,
and
so...
And took 8 power bombs.
Yeah.
So, and still won the match.
Well, that's, you know, that's kind of, you know... I get it, and in the same sense, it's just like, Punk, do you really... You know, obviously, Punk's going to lose. His first loss is going to be MJF. Absolutely deserving. That's where it should go to. I agree with that. But all in all, you know, that's my favorite storyline so far. What about you?
My favorite storyline is about to be the Bucks and Adam Cole.
Yes.
Adam Cole... All his buddies from Undisputed Era came back except for Roddy. It's Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Red Dragon,
yep.
Now with him. And Britt Baker's now in the mix.
Yep.
They're doing a mixed tag next week against Statlander and I think Orange Cassidy, I believe it was. They're doing it, right? But that dynamic. Now, another thing I'm excited for is Adam Page, open challenge, Lance Archer.
Yep.
Fucking perfect. Absolutely perfect. I was liking the whole thing with them. The Lucha Brothers took a blow.
Oof.
Yeah, because Fenix is now out with an injury.
One of the most gruesome injuries. I mean...
Yeah, yeah.
More, I'd say almost more so. I guess the Sid Vicious one from...
That's the worst one I've ever seen.
From Sin or whatever it was. Yeah. That was a really bad one. Just because... I mean, how lucky Ray Phoenix is. I think they said it was only a dislocated elbow.
Yeah, yeah.
How but fucking was, lucky he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but that intrigues me. I'm Jurassic Express with the tag championships.
Beautiful
FTR
move.
And the Briscoes is about to happen.
Yep.
Even like Serena Deeb is the heel in the women's division. I like Britt Baker, and I don't like women's wrestling, but it's intriguing to me.
Yes.
The Acclaimed.
Yep.
Number one rated tag team right now.
Yep.
Seeing Bowens on TV. We were hanging out with Bowens 2 years ago in a brewery.
Yep.
With the Wizards. He's a good dude. He deserves everything he's getting right now. I'm excited for those guys. I'm excited for what Taz is doing right now.
Oh my God! Now the Hook storyline is funny to me. It's winning me over. At first, I was like, I don't know, because it's just he's not an imposing figure, but they're doing almost what Paul E did with Taz, which I wonder, obviously Taz has a lot to do with it, I'm assuming, but, you know, they're doing a very good job, and it's gotten me intrigued, and it's winning me over. I love the idea of Hook coming out and just being this monster who's, you know, clearly... an unbelievable athlete. And from what I remember listening to Taz's show a few years ago, he's an excellent lacrosse player. And he's got something.
Yeah,
Hook has something.
He does.
He's, you know, but I'm very intrigued. I like the idea that he's just a silent assassin coming out. And, you know, and like I said, I don't know how much of that is me being impartial because I love Taz anyway. So
my favorite ECW wrestler.
Oh yeah,
one of my top fucking 10 wrestlers.
One of my and honestly, he's one of my favorite commentators because like he's just
it's a New York thing.
Entertaining to listen to, entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
But his match with he fought the not I want to say Action Bronson, with Bronson Reed. No, not Bronson Reed. Oh my God, I can't think of the guy's name on AEW. I think it's Bronson Reed. I think that was his name. Right?
No, that's the big guy.
That's the one that
Bronson Reed is Jonah now.
Yeah,
in New
Jonah,
Japan
yes.
and Impact.
His name is escaping me, but that was a great match. And the C hook suplexing this guy who outweighs him was an impressive feat. And I think that's what started to do it for me too.
Yeah, and more importantly, Aleister Black, Malachi Black, whatever the fuck you want to call him, adding my man,
yeah,
Brody fucking King to the mix.
Great move.
Yeah. What they call it, the House of something?
The House of Black.
The House of Black, yeah. And Brody King is just a fucking animal. He's for his size, throwing cannonballs, and he does some high spots sometimes.
Yep.
He's imposing, and of course he has a fucking charting hardcore song on
yeah.
He has a band, and everything he does right now is great. I told Jay I'm going to buy his shirt around tax season because I need a new AEW shirt. For me, I love the big guy. You know that I'm a big guy, Mark. You know what I'm saying? For me, and seeing that. We're going to see Jericho and Eddie Kingston get it on soon.
Yes.
That's amazing. Just these stories. And if Tony Khan doesn't fucking botch this with the 50-50 booking, he's going to have a lot of cool shit going on.
I think he's doing a really good job thus far. You know, the Adam Page, Bryan Danielson match was just freaking off the hook. You know, and the right outcome came. You know, Bryan Danielson lost. You know, fun fact, you can still lose and not lose your placement in the card. It's an amazing thing sometimes with heels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to me, I see something happening. The only thing I can kind of call it is flooding. There's a lot of flooding right now in AEW in the sense of, how much talent can you sign without it kind of outshining? In the sense of, I don't want to use the women as an example, but like, you know, the women's division is just flooded with talent, and you know, you look at them and just go, I don't think they could sign anybody else because they got such good stuff going.
Then they bring in Brody King. And
then like all of a sudden the men's side, you just go, I think you got to let motherfuckers go.
Or
because there's so much happening.
But you have another show on Friday nights.
You do. You're right.
So you could fit two, three more matches on there and you could still tell stories that, you know.
But like you look at Darby Allin, for example. He had a
they
great.
Got, they're going to be fighting soon against the what's their faces?
Acclaimed. Yeah. You know, not the Acclaimed. Is it the Acclaimed?
Oh, no.
Ethan
Page and Scorpio. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You look at those guys. Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky. Like these guys. Like
I'm big on Scorpio.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Yeah, it's great to bring in Brody King, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. These are needle movers. But it does give a little validity, and we were talking about it off the air about Ric Flair, who I think sometimes just licks his finger and see which way is the wind blowing and he just goes that way. He what he said is right. Like these guys, Bryan Danielson coming in, CM Punk came in, moved the needle, and man, it's great. It's great overall. But is it bringing eyes to the product? That is the question at hand. And yeah, you know, they've cleared 1 million viewers, you know, on TBS.
Ratings have been down though.
But across the board.
Right.
Across the board. Let's call it what it is. You
it's
know?
Not a, it's wrestling's not as popular on TV as it used to be. Let's be honest.
Exactly. But, you know, at what point are you going to keep signing people that are leaving WWE, and are you hurting your own product? We're getting close to that area.
Yeah.
And I've been saying it for a while now because I feel bad for the Sunny Kisses. You know, Jurassic Express.
Joey Janela.
Yeah, the Joey Janela, who I love Joey Janela. And, you know, I can't think of like somebody.
He's fighting Matt Cardona next week in Hammerstein.
Awesome.
And he did the whole angle with the pictures.
Yeah.
Ric Flair and Randy Savage.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Not only did Janela put Chelsea Green's picture with him on these photos, he made a fucking T-shirt of it.
Oh, that's even better.
Right.
That's the take. You take from the past and then make it better. And that's exactly.
And Flair likes it too.
But
by the way.
But you know. But you see what I'm saying? Whereas like Janela's clearly, he's clearly competent of doing that. And that could, and I'm not saying it's, you know, have Janela in the heavyweight title, but that'd be a great storyline to have on NXT.
Right.
NXT on the AEW.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? So like. You know, you got the Miro's, and like when like Kip Sabian comes back from his ACL tear, like where does he fit in?
And Miro's been off TV too.
Where do these guys fit in? There's only so much to go around.
It's like you're putting 5 pounds of shit in a 2 pound bag.
I think, and his, you know, if we don't do predictions, but I'm going to make a slight prediction here. And it's happened. Big Swole has kind of gone on Twitter and kind of bashed the company a little bit. I don't, you know, her opinion is her opinion. I think, you know, she feels however she feels, and she's right. You know, I don't see it that way personally, but who am I? I'm not there. But to me, I think, you know, like look at somebody like Brian Cage, who, you know, hasn't really done much and is an unbelievable talent. I think he's somebody that has just been affected by the massive signings, you know, and like I said, Lance Archer coming back. I think this is going to be big stuff. I just hope he doesn't get swallowed up by a Adam Cole storyline. Who you have to listen, Tony Khan. You have to feature Adam Cole. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but you're bringing in all these guys. It's not sustainable. That's ultimately where I'm coming at is.
In other words, it's not gonna work all the time.
It's not gonna work all the time.
Right.
I think it's not sustainable.
I 100% agree. I also think that you can utilize the other show with these people too if you cross promote and storyline stuff, which they've been doing lately.
Yep.
But you know you have enough. You have enough. This is what SmackDown and Raw was having a problem with.
Yep.
You know. So I mean, it's you know, too many Chiefs, not enough Indians. You know, and you have so much talent. You know, there's never been this much talent anywhere in the world.
Think about the era we're watching right now. 02. This was kind of the tail end of the Attitude Era, quote unquote. The thing about the Attitude Era is every storyline was good. Now, was every storyline good? Or was the product? It was such a euphoria of the product.
Yeah,
every storyline was good. Listen, looking back on it with past eyes.
I'm guilty. I'm guilty. We do a podcast about nostalgia mostly.
Yeah.
So I'm guilty of comparing shit that doesn't make sense to you.
I think
you know,
if,
to
if
anybody.
If I had to give a grade right now to AEW, I think they're doing very well for a company that has been a company for 2 years. And I am nowhere near comparing them to WWE because it is fucking apples and rotted fruit on the other side.
No question, dude.
Because
no question.
You can't. But I just don't, if they keep going in this direction 2 years in, I do not see them being susceptible, sustainable.
Okay, That's fair.
I think there's a little validity of what Ric Flair says. There's a lot of sizzle, and not enough steak. I think to an extent. So
and you need steak.
You need the steak.
You need your protein.
Yeah.
You need your protein. Just to piggyback real quick on Big Swole, what validated her statement was active members of their roster advocating for her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying...
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, like, you know, if it was just her coming out of her face saying it was a racist thing or it was this or it was that, and if she was by herself on an island of a lot of people, and it was just her saying, I was disrespected, or I was dis... It was culture
bias. I think what's helping her cause is Tony Khan not having a fucking filter sometimes and just going, huh, she wasn't that good. I'm sorry, you're the owner of a company. You should not be saying anything remotely close to that.
Especially if you had her on your TV show.
Even if it's true. Let's just say hypothetically
it's
true.
It's bad business.
Just bad look. It's a bad look.
It's a bad
and
look,
that's,
right.
That's where I think you're misconstruing is where guys, the Leo Rushes, were saying, yo, Tony.
Powerhouse Hobbs said something.
You got to apologize. And you're right.
Right.
You should not be saying that in any sense of the
word. Right.
Even if it is true. But to me, I think this year we'll see a little bit more of, because not many people have left AEW. I mean, Big Swole is only kind of a handful of people that have been there. But I think this year we'll see a few guys. I think, and I don't want to make a prediction of who's going to go, but like.
Sometimes the grass isn't greener, man.
Of course. And I think like I go back to Brian Cage, who is a guy who is. This guy is supposed to be a star, and
he should be a star.
And he's
talented.
He's so talented, and he's somebody that is just not. He's not featured, and it's to nobody's fault. But there's only so many rides on the amusement park before a line forms up. You know, so to me, I think you know, this coming year, a lot of that stuff is going to come out in the wash.
Anything else?
I think that's it, brother.
Real quick, just keep Sonny in your thoughts. You got arrested again.
I did read. I wasn't sure if you were going to make a comment on that.
I love her so much.
So do
I. As a person, we've said this a million times on the show, that she just needs to fucking just get away from everything and stop fucking.
I mean,
putting herself on the internet like she is.
Listen, the internet stuff is one thing. If that the OnlyFans thing, and that's one thing. But like, if you know, listen, she got arrested, so I'm assuming that there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
If the charges are true, that's pretty hefty.
Yeah, of course.
And given her track record and her history, I'm hoping that there's not substances involved, but hopefully,
pray to God, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully she finds her way.
She's
because
gonna want, 'cause she'll wind up on that, you know, on that list of deceased wrestlers. Because
not even that, but it's only a matter of time until she has a dark side of the ring.
Yeah, I mean,
against her, you know, and
it's terrible, man.
And I'm not laughing at her.
It's the fucking truth,
you
man.
Know, I agree. I feel terrible. I read that yesterday, and I just go, are you kidding me?
Again, come on, Sonny.
Yeah,
she's a good dude. She's such a nice person too. You know, like
I've never had the. I've always wanted to meet her.
Eventually, if she gets her shit together, you will definitely meet her.
She's my biggest crush. I'm not going to sit there and lie. If I meet her, I would fanboy all over the place.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just a sad story. But it's a story as long as the day, you know, as time is that everybody, if, you know, she's reliving, you know, stuff from her past and she's going through something with, you know, substances. It's only a matter of time till these chickens fucking come home to roost. So hopefully she gets the help that's needed and can, God, kick out of this at least.
Exactly. Well, we definitely moved the needle enough to get back into the swing of things. So
there we go.
So let's get out of here. All right, guys, we're going to see you next week. Hopefully we're going to have a live show, actually. We'll announce everything during the week. Once we get all our times together and all the personalities in the same room. Meaning you, myself, and Kevin, and hopefully our surprise will come through.
We'll make an announcement on social media.
Yes, and we'll definitely get with next week is the anniversary show of the Rumble of 1992. It's gonna be amazing. Anyway, guys, have a good rest of your week. You know the social media handles. Take care, comb your hair. God bless, and don't be a jerk off. Wear your mask, and take care. Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.